What's going on, my psychic psychos? It's your boy Ghost Joe. On this episode of the Warp Reality Podcast, we will be speaking with world-renowned psychic medium, Miss Katie Turner. So check it out. Let's go.
Do aliens exist, and are they among us? Are weird creatures lurking in the darkness? Do evil entities hide in the shadows of your bedroom while you sleep? Join us as we explore all this and more on the Warped Reality Podcast.
What's up, everybody? Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is Ghost Joe, Warped Reality Podcast, episode 32. This is going to be a short one because it's just going to be a quick interview that I had done. This is going to be awesome. I spoke with psychic medium Miss Katie Turner. This was an excellent interview. She was very informative, and we actually covered a lot of my questions, actually all of my questions, in a great amount of time. By the way, I will have her info in the show notes if you're looking for a very skilled psychic. Definitely get in touch with Katie. I know I'm going to be calling her and pretty soon, and I'll let you guys know the outcome. Maybe I'll even play some of it for you on the show. So because she does allow you to record your sessions with her also. So she's awesome. You're going to love this interview. So let me get on with the intro and you guys could check it out. So Katie Turner is a very skilled psychic medium who has been using her abilities to communicate with loved ones to help others ever since she was a child. She has been on numerous TV shows such as Paranormal Survivor and My Paranormal Nightmare, where she also served as an advisor as well. She is the founder and active member of the Canadian Supernatural Research Society and co-hosts a Facebook Live paranormal podcast called Let's Talk About It. So let's get on with it. Without further ado, here's my interview with the lovely psychic medium, Katie Turner. Unedited, by the way. Check it out. So, Katie, you've said that you're a clairvoyant, psychic medium, and a sensitive. Can you explain the difference between those terms? I know a lot of people use some of those things interchangeably.
Okay, so that's a really great question. So not all psychics are mediums, but all mediums are psychics. And then there's sensitivity. So I identify as clairaudient, clairsentient, clairvoyant, clairconscient, and empathic. Okay. I'm a sensitive that picks up on different aspects of the clairconsciousness. So that means that I can tap into different things. I have different antennas. Clairaudience is hearing, clairsentient is smelling, clairvoyant is seeing, clairconscient is the act of knowing. And empathic means I pick up on symptoms, whether it be physical or metaphoric. So not everything I say is literal, right? So sometimes I pick up metaphorical images or statements. The sensitivity comes in to not only am I able to pick up and download those things from my consciousness, but I can pick them up in sensitivity as well. So when you walk into a room, it's a sense of something. The mm-hmm. psychic part of things means that, you know, one can tap into timelines, so past, present, and future. So it's predicting things, it's seeing past events. And then the mediumship side of me means that I can tap into people who've crossed over. So it's people who have died. Some are ghosts and some are spirits, some are animals, some are human. I'm also able to tap into different elemental spirits. So it's just kind of a wide range or variety of antennas that we use in order to kind of communicate with the other side.
And when did you realize that you had this ability?
You know what? My parents used to tell me stories, you know, farther back before I can even recollect. I would be giving them stories of visitors that would come in at night or messages of loved ones that I had. But my first recollections, I was about 3.5, 4 years old. And I had my first kind of full-bodied apparition visitor in my bedroom. I was playing. And I remember I was playing with teddy bears. You know, I had my toys set up and it actually picked it up and moved the teddy bear. And that's what scared me. It wasn't the spirit sitting on my bed. It was the fact that they were able to pick up that teddy bear. And it just intensified over the years. It just got more intense and more profound. And yeah, never quit.
And so your parents were supportive of this, or did they, you know, how were they towards you when you were telling them these things?
I'm really fortunate. My family is very open and very spiritual. So, you know, some of my family members, my grandmother was the most psychic person I had ever met. She was somebody who was quite intimidated by it. It wasn't something that she enjoyed. It frightened her. And it's gone down the lineage. I mean, my father's extremely sensitive, my mother's sensitive. So it was an open subject. And quite frankly, I think that's what continued my abilities, was because they engaged with me and they allowed me to experience this stuff and not feel crazy for it.
Wow. Well, that's great that they were that supportive of it. You know, that's pretty great. Now, how does your ability, the way you pick up things, how does that work? Like, do you have like a certain method? Like how is that done?
Basically, you know what? I sit with a client, or depending if I'm doing a paranormal investigation, if I'm walking into a location for cleansings or going in for a reading, basically what I do is I go in and I open up my antennas. So, I picture a radio being turned on, the antenna being raised, and I kind of download the information. So I receive pictures and images and smells and emotions and feelings and videos and all sorts of those things. And that's how I download the information. So it comes in through my head, or through a feeling, through a scent. And at that point is when I try to relay the message, or try to, pass the message on, download, metabolize the information I'm given.
Now, at what point did you say to yourself, like, I want to do this for a living, or to help people? Like, when did you actually, say to yourself, that's what you wanted to do?
So I actually started so 14, 15 years old, I started doing research to try and figure out what I was seeing, to try to justify to myself that I wasn't crazy, because not only was I having these premonitions, but I was getting visitations by loved ones and people I didn't know. And so what I started going into libraries and trying to get into documentaries and books. Fast forward into college, I started very amateurly paranormal investigating to try to capture this evidence to prove to myself and to prove to others that I wasn't crazy. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until I actually had a career in real estate. I was running a real estate office for about 10 years, and I was actually training horses. That's my second passion. And that's what I thought I was going to be doing for life. And I developed a paranormal team to try and help people. You know, it wasn't at that point that I needed justification for myself anymore, but I wanted to put other people's minds at ease. And so I started the paranormal team, and we were really heavy into it. I mean, we're still going strong, but at that time, people found out what I could do. You know, I never once thought, I want to be a fortune teller when I grow up. It did not occur to me. In fact, people were coming into my office every day asking me for readings when they found out what I could do. And that's why I had to quit my job. So, I ended up doing this full time because I got so many phone calls. I don't advertise. I don't, people just kind of, I guess it's word of mouth, and it's kept me busy.
Now, do you think that the way I wrote it here, it's kind of sound like it's like, I was like, no, I can't say it like this because it's going to sound stupid the way
you
I'm going to ask.
Say it any way you want. But, any way you want. I see dead people for a living, so there's nothing you can say that's going to be weird or bad.
I actually use this word because I heard it on the show Wednesday, and I thought it was really funny. So the way I phrased this question was, is it possible for us normies to be able to tap into this ability?
That's a great question. And that's not a weird question. That's actually a really great phrase. So for you normies, I actually like to, clarify with that, because I believe that everybody has abilities, whether they're consciously aware of it or not. I believe that everybody has intuition. Everybody has gut feelings. Everybody has extrasensory perception. But a lot of us are not cognizant. So, I often tell people, think of your car. Think of a car that you drive. And think about the color, and think about the make, the model. Now, think about how many of those vehicles you noticed before you purchased yours. Now think about how many vehicles you notice after you purchased yours, just like yours. It's not like you're out looking for other cars like similar to yours or the same, but you're consciously aware of them being in your perception. And that's how psychic abilities and mediumship abilities work, is it's being in your present consciousness, the spiritual side of things. So I do believe that people have paranormal experiences every day. They just don't realize they're having it. And once they tap into it, it's kind of like you can't unsee it.
Now, I mean, personally for me, right, and I've said it a bunch of times on my podcast, probably too many times, people are going to be mad that I keep saying it, but the experiences that I've had since I was a kid, most of my experiences always happened, I wouldn't say when I challenged something, but whenever I asked for a sign, something big always happened to say, hey, by the way, we're here. You know, from seeing full-bodied apparitions to a remote control flying off my coffee table when there's no wind around, you know, to hearing voices and some other weird things. What would you classify that kind of ability as? Somebody that could pretty much ask for a sign and receive, you know, some kind of validation?
All right, well, respected. It's somebody who's well respected. So to me, that means, you know, you're not saying jump and dance. You're not shooting at the ground and telling them to jump up and down. You're not demanding it. You're asking. That's the biggest misconception in paranormal. You know, people often go into locations and are like, you will step aside. You will show yourself. You will. They're not monkeys. They don't do a dance. Because you go in with integrity, you go in with honor, and you go in with respect. They already know that you have the abilities to see these things. They're not ignorant to that. That respect and that open invitation is what results. I often go in with my team to other locations that other teams have gone and said, oh, this place isn't haunted. We didn't get a damn thing. We've been here 10 times and didn't receive one thing. But we're getting stuff that's off the charts. That doesn't mean we're any better than any other team, but our dynamic and the approach that we take is a respectful one. It's not, you will do this. It's, would you mind? You know, when I go and I explain who I am, I explain the equipment. So some people are kind of, they'll criticize that in the sense that, like, why are you explaining what a flashlight is? Why are you explaining what this is? Well, perhaps the people you're dealing with that have passed away don't know what a flashlight is. They don't know what these things are, and they're not going to come out and show themselves, or they're going to create a dry atmosphere because they don't feel respected in that space. So really, I think for you, it comes down to the integrity and the respect that you have when you're asking those questions. Not every time are you going to get a result. It's not plausible. Things are cyclical, in a paranormal sense. So sometimes it takes time for the energy to build up. But you're very fortunate. I'm pretty lucky when I ask for signs as well, that they understand that I'm asking respectfully.
Right. Actually, and it was funny too, when I first started my law enforcement career, I started as a state correctional officer, New York State Corrections, and I was going through the academy. And about halfway through the academy, my parents called me up and said, listen, you have to come home. Now, the academy was 3 hours away from my house. They said, you have to come home. Your grandmother just passed away. Yeah. Right. Now, I was actually coming home that weekend anyway, because at the same time, I was in a rock band, and we had a show that weekend. So when I came home, my parents had already went, you know, out to Long Island, you know, a little further away, where my other family was. And they said, no, you stay home and we'll come pick you up tomorrow or whatever it was. And, I said, all right. And so now I'm like getting myself ready and stuff. And I'm saying to myself, oh, I don't know if I should do this show, you know, like, you know, she just passed away. I don't, you know, it's not respectful. And this is when we had cordless phones, my cordless phone started ringing. And when I picked it up, all I heard was static. And it sounded like somebody was saying something, but I couldn't tell what somebody, and then I couldn't turn it off. I was trying to press the power button, trying to turn it off, and it wasn't working until I said, and I've had other experiences before this. And I said, Grandma, if that's you, this is scaring me, you know, and I was able to turn it off right away, you know? So yeah, I mean, so I've had some pretty crazy experiences, not a whole bunch, but enough, I guess.
You know, you're very fortunate. There's a lot of people that would give anything to be able to have that validation or that closure from the loved one. So that's a wonderful thing. And you know, a lot of people don't realize how much energy that exudes and how much power it takes for them to be able to give you that sign. You know, television, unfortunately, kind of Hollywood's got a place for us, right? Hollywood's wonderful for giving us entertaining stories, but it also sets a precedence kind of of what we're to expect. And so a lot of people are expecting the plates flying across the room, the drawers opening in and out. They don't realize that that nickel on the floor or that phone call that they're getting or, you know, the flicker of the light takes a lot of power for them to do that as well. And that the oddity or the holy grail, if you like, of paranormal is what we're trying to capture with that plate flying across the room, but it's very few and far between. So you're very fortunate to have those experiences.
Yeah, it's pretty wild, but I don't really I don't really ask for signs anymore. I have my own house. I have two small children. So I'm like, you know what? And I already do this podcast. Sometimes I get things happening while I'm doing my podcast. Knocks on my door and stuff like that. And I'm like, all right, I know you're here. I'm just entertaining people. You know, I try and talk like I'm just here to entertain people. I'm not trying to disrespect anybody, you know, but it's been pretty crazy, but it's calmed down, I guess, probably because I'm not really trying to elevate it at the point, you know, at this moment. But so you had said earlier to me before we started recording that you've done some things for the police and stuff like that. Have you ever worked on any high profile cases or, you know, anything like that?
I have. As a matter of fact, I worked with a case with a family regarding a murder case in British Columbia, Canada. I'm in Ontario, so I'm a few provinces over. They are on the West Coast, and I was able to assist them in the arrest of a gentleman that ended up being charged for murder. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. That's great. I've worked on cold cases where, you know, there's different situations that came up. I've worked with family members. I've had, you know, police call and question me about missing persons, or could I give them a hand on, you know, can you give me a missing link here? You know, what do you see? And so I just give my two cents. I certainly don't charge for anything like that. That's something that, I feel if I can help a family, you know, same with the paranormal investigations and cleansings and stuff. We don't charge for any of that stuff.
So now, have you ever, I know you had said that, you know, you've had premonitions and stuff like that. Are there any premonitions that you've had that have been like large scale predictions that have come true that you could share? Or
Unfortunately, one happened 2 days ago that was in Turkey.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was, it was unfortunate. There's been a few light worker friends of mine that have predicted that as well. They saw it coming. And I saw it coming as well. And, you know, we kind of all spoke about it. And we were saddened and shocked. I mean, how do you prevent something like that? We didn't know specifically. We could see the ground shaking in Turkey, but we didn't know what the cause was.
Wow, it's got to be frightening at times too. Does that still scare you in certain ways? Or
oh, absolutely, yes, absolutely. There's certain things that I don't want to see. You know, not everybody's case. And when somebody comes to me for a meeting, or you know, I'm dealing with a paranormal case going in, I get to see how it happens. I witness it, or sometimes the spirit will show me certain things, or sometimes, you know, I have to kind of go through the crime scene to make sense of what actually happened. And so, yeah, there's a bit of post-traumatic stress around that because there's a lot of pressure. You know, I'm witnessing things, even though I haven't physically been there in that moment, I may be smelling the blood, or I may be, you know, dealing with, you know, I've worked with a lot of soldiers and, you know, ones that didn't come back alive. And, you know, there's friends and family that contact me, and I get to smell the gunpowder. I get to smell death. And so it is difficult. It's absolutely difficult. It's not an easy job. It's not an easy job. It's a fun job, but it's not an easy job.
Right. I can imagine. So like we had said before also about how there's so many charlatans or frauds, you know, out there as far as psychics and mediums and stuff like that. Can you give my listeners any advice on how they could either spot, you know, these kinds of people so that they don't, you know, get scammed?
The first thing I tell every client that comes through my door, or even, you know, any virtual sessions I do, there's two things that I ask of them. Number one, get a second opinion. Never stick with one psychic. And number two, please do your research and make sure these people are reputable. Check out their social media, check out their websites, check out references. Don't be afraid to reach out to references. Ask a lot of questions when you go to book a session, find out what you're getting. I really encourage people not to, some psychics pre-charge. I do not. I'm not somebody that asks for money up front. I like to make it about the job. I like it to make it about the reading and the best thing that I can give for that individual. So I always tell people I'll only accept payment after the session when I know you're happy and satisfied with it. For me, I've never wanted it to be about money. I didn't get into this for money. I literally kind of, the universe said, this is what you're doing, this is what we want you to do, and kind of made life harder until I embraced this. So it's always been about honor and integrity. So going back to it, you know, just make sure that you're getting what you pay for, that you understand what you're getting into. And also, it's really important that, you know, if they're asking a million questions, I mean, there's certain questions that I will ask, but I go through a spiel and explain certain questions and why I ask them, so people understand it. But a good psychic's going to be able to tell you things that you can't off of social media, you can't get off of a photo, and they're going to be able to, you know, to say those things. The other thing that I really encourage is that, you know, if a psychic ever says that, usually a psychic's not going to contact you for a reading. So TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, that's really rampant right now with scammers contacting you and saying, you know, I see you having this, this, and this, and this. I would love to book you in for a session, you know, call me or whatever. And then they try to do a credit card exchange or some sort of a money exchange. And that should never happen. I will never reach out to you for a reading. If I reach out to you for a piece or for information to give you, I'm giving it to you. If I feel like you need it, I will say it to you and I'm giving it. Another major problem that we have that I've noticed is that I've had clients come to me and they've been soaked for thousands, in the sense I had a client three weeks ago contact me, and she was soaked for $1,200. A psychic told her that there was an evil spirit in her house and that she could get rid of this evil spirit for $1,200. And so the woman paid the $1,200 because she was experiencing paranormal activity, and it ended up being a dog. It was a spirit of a dog in her house. It wasn't an evil entity. So it's stuff like this that should not happen. I do not charge for cleansings. I do not charge for paranormal investigations. I don't charge for any of that. It is sacrilegious for a priest to go into a location and cleanse and, you know, bless a home. It's just different for us. So, you know, I take that quite seriously, and I feel bad for people who get taken advantage of.
Yeah, I've actually seen something similar to that also, where somebody had said that they went to a psychic and the psychic told them that, you know, their house is, there's demons in her house and that they could get rid of them for $3,500. I said, yeah. Oh my God. I said, do not do that. You know, I said, don't do that. I said, that's insane. That's just... And it's just sad because people really believe it. You know, they know who they could get. They know who they could fool. And it's just, it's terrible. It really is, you know?
And people don't realize that, you know, demonic energy, people don't realize demonic energy is not, there's not a group of them harboring in your house. Demons don't work that way. Demons are something that are rarer than we give it credit for. Everything in today's social media or entertainment is it's a demon. And that's actually a lot more rare than you give it credit for. Like it doesn't happen as much as we think. And when you do deal with a demonic case, sage ain't going to cut it. You know, going and waving sage around is not going to get rid of these things. These things can take months, can take years to get rid of.
Now, this wasn't actually one of my questions, but what do you think of the infamous Ouija board?
Okay, so in my opinion, the Ouija board is nothing more than a piece of wood and a planchette. It's a board and a planchette. It's the active intent and how you're using it. Spirit boxes, scrying, any automatic writing, any open communication, seance, that is all acts of divination, which means all communication with the other side. It doesn't matter what you use, it's the active intent behind it. And so I really caution people with spirit boards or Ouija boards that when I use the example of a phone, when you go to call somebody and you dial in the number, you have an active intent on who you wish to reach. So you're calling your friend Joe. Okay, Joe, hey Joe, how's it going? And that's who you're contacting. When you have a Ouija board, you're opening up that communication or opening Pandora's box, pardon the pun, by asking, does anybody want to speak with us? No matter what type of paranormal piece of equipment you're using, you're opening that up, and that is when the active intent and the invitation welcomes something negative or malevolent into your atmosphere, and that's when it becomes bad. So it's not the board itself, it's how knowledgeable you are and educated towards how you're using it.
Okay. Now, I know I've read in your intro, actually, that you've done some TV shows and stuff. You've been a consultant. Can you tell me about that and how the experiences were being on TV?
Yeah. So I started on a television series called Paranormal Survivor. And when they were pre-producing the show, when they started, before the show got on air, they contacted me and asked me, would I be interested to be a part of it? And they were looking for cases of paranormal teams and, their experiences. They wanted 100% everything authentic. How authentic can you? I was interested and I said, I'm interested. However, I'm not going to sell myself for television. I'm going to tell you how it is. I don't stutter. This is what happened. Like, please don't ask me to change anything. I will recollect what happened and that's how it's going to go down. And they were like, yes, absolutely. We want it to be as factual as possible. We're going to try and follow your lead. And so season one, I had submitted some stories. They came back in season two and asked me to join again. And I was actually expecting my daughter. And so I couldn't be on camera, but I consulted them behind the camera with a lot of things. And then season three, they came back and asked me if I would be interested to be on every episode. They said, we really like you, you're knowledgeable. And would you be willing to kind of hop aboard as a regular and consult? They called me an expert, which I don't like that name because I don't think anybody's an expert in this field. We're all learning. But basically that's what it was. And so I would, offer my knowledge. They would be asking me questions and I would offer knowledge, and I'd also submitted a bunch of stories. So, that was really fun. There was another show that I did called my worst paranormal nightmare, my paranormal nightmare. It had two titles, and, they basically just took me back to childhood and told my life story of, how I got started as a kid and my experiences on the farm that I grew up on and, what I'm doing today. So there was that. And then I have a podcast that I do with one of my very dear friend, Richard Ruland. It's called Let's Talk About It. And we talk about all things paranormal. So it's a podcast. It's multicast through Facebook and StreamYard, and it's pretty interactive. We have a huge fan base that comes in and asks questions every episode, and we get to interview some really cool guests and talk about some really cool paranormal stuff.
Great, great. And now you had also said that you're part of a paranormal group. Can you tell me about that as well?
Yeah. So I formed a team called the Canadian Supernatural Research Society, and we conduct investigations throughout Ontario and Quebec, and we've done some stuff in the States. And basically, we do a lot of residential cases. We don't advertise. We don't, we have a website, but it's not something that we're constantly throwing content up on the website. Where I'm located, we have a lot of residential cases, a lot of private residential cases where people are experiencing paranormal activity in their house and they want it out, or they want it explained, or they want it debunked. So it's very confidential. We have a lot of forms that we fill out. We try to keep things quiet, and we just go in and I'll give my psychic feel, and then we set the equipment up and try and validate it with that. And, we try to help a lot of people. That's basically what we do.
So you actually You don't just go there and say, hey, by the way, you got a ghost. Like, you go in there, and if they want something removed, you would, you know, help them at least if to try to find them an avenue to do so.
Absolutely. So a lot of times people are, they don't understand what they're seeing. They don't know what it is. They're intimidated because it's something you can't see, hear, feel, or touch, but it's moving objects. It's creating havoc. It's creating emotional distress. And so, you know, a lot of people will come to me and say, I'll go in and get a feel for it. And if I feel it just needs to be cleansed, then we'll cleanse the property. But a lot of times, you know, case in point, we had a woman who swore it was a demon and it was the ghost of a cat. And we captured the cat. So until she believed it and saw it for her own eyes and heard it with her own eyes, she could not overcome that fear. And that was causing a lot of the problem. So, you know, we can take the equipment. I go in, do a psychic impression. I download what I see. And then really the equipment is more so for the client because they don't see what I see. But if I could prove it to them that that's just the cat, then it puts their mind at ease. And at that point, if they want the cat to be moved on, we try and cleanse. Or, you know, if Uncle Hector can stay because he loves to be there and they know it's Uncle Hector and he's have no harm, then we don't have to cleanse for them.
So also, by the way, as far as with your readings go, I forgot to ask this earlier. Do you allow recording of any type? Because I know some people don't.
Absolutely. Yep, absolutely. It's your session. You can record it. You can take notes. It's all up to you. It's whatever you're comfortable with.
That's great. Yeah, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I guess, like you said, some of those people might not be the legit ones or whatever. Or maybe they just don't want their voices on recording or something. But I know that's kind of a thing. Some psychics like that. Some psychics don't allow it. So now, what do you have coming up on the horizon? Great. So what do you have coming up on the horizon with any of your endeavors?
So COVID hit Canada pretty hard. And so we had to really shut down, at least in the province of Ontario, we had to really shut down a lot of our paranormal stuff. So things are getting back into the swing. I'm getting phone calls every day. I've been doing a ton of cleansings. I don't know if the fact that everybody was home for quite some time actually hindered or helped the paranormal activity side of stuff, but I'm doing cleansings 2-3 times a week, going to different locations. So I'm really, really busy with that. We are getting paranormal cases. I'm kind of subduing that a little bit to the summer. We find that the winter is a lot harder. But if there's a case with a child involved or a child's really being affected, we don't stutter. We'll get right in case. You know, besides work every day, doing readings every day, you know, I get my podcast every Sunday night. I'm doing it with my friend Richard. So, you know, it's getting that organized and finding the guests and having good subject matter that really keeps me busy.
Excellent. So if somebody wanted to get in touch with you, either for a reading or a paranormal investigation, how could they do that?
So you can contact me at my website, katieturnerpsychic.com, or you can contact me on Facebook via Facebook. It's Katie Turner Sensitive Psychic Medium. You're welcome to look up my information there. If you send me a message through that, an automated message will come up with my phone number. I do not like to use social media for sessions because I wouldn't want anybody to ever think that I'm looking at their stuff. So the automated message comes up, gives my phone number and says, call me. And at that point, that's the easiest way to book. And you can check out our paranormal team website out. It's CanadianSupernaturalResearchSociety.com as well.
Awesome. So thank you so much for your time, Katie. I really appreciate you coming on. And you'll definitely be hearing from me soon because I have some answers that I need answered. I have some questions that I need to be answered about certain things. So you'll definitely be hearing from me pretty soon. And I'll make sure all of your links and everything are in the show notes, and I'll let you know when the show is live and on.
Well, thank you. It's been my pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Have a good night.
You too.
Bye-bye. So that's going to do it for me, guys. Thank you very, very much to Psychic Medium Katie Turner, and you will definitely be hearing from me soon on the next episode of the Warp Reality Podcast. It's back to our regular format featuring your favorite segments as I read it on Reddit. Horrible Reviews with Edgegrave Dave, Chris Whitehouse of the Whitehouse Investigation Team, John Wright of the Wright Headspace, and Haunted eBay. So definitely stay tuned, and I'll see you next time, everybody. Thank you for listening to the Warped Reality Podcast, and thank you to all my guests and contributors that helped make this show possible. For more episodes, guest info, social media links, merch, and more, please check out warpedrealitypodcast.com. If you have a paranormal experience you would like to share, questions, comments, or you'd like to be a guest in the show, please leave me a voicemail at 845-600-0744, or you can email me at ghostjoeny@gmail.com. You can do so anonymously if you'd like. Also, I'd greatly appreciate it if you could leave me a review on Apple Podcasts or WarpRealityPodcast.com. Have a great night, everyone, and don't forget to change your shorts.